True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I know very often I say I'm so excited about the show, mostly because I'm always excited about the show, but it's usually because I have a special guest on. Sometimes it's the topic. I am particularly excited about getting this show underway. This show is going to be about Annie Guthrie. First of all, I'm going to start out by saying this. I believe poetry can touch upon some truths about consciousness that science and philosophy may not. That was written by Annie Guthrie. I've got a couple of other poems that I'm going to also recite to you from her, but I really want to talk a lot about her, about what people are saying, about people, what people are still saying. And I did this also with the Jacks in the Idaho 4 case. I did many interviews about the Jacks. This was within the first couple of weeks, well before anybody knew about Brian Koberger, about how they weren't involved. There was no way, based on all the research that I had done, there was no chance. They were later cleared, and still people kept after them. Listen, people are still after them, just so you know. They're still not in the clear. People still blame Dylan. People still blame the Showalters, or Showalter. They blame the Kopaka, who's dead. You know, terrible situation with a standoff with him, with SWAT. Blah, blah, blah. People blame Annie today, even though she's been cleared by law enforcement. I want to read just a couple of things she was called that I looked up today while I was preparing for this. People are saying she killed her mom. People are saying she abducted her mom. People are saying her ass looks as guilty as hell. People are calling her a witch. She actually looks just like Savannah on the side view. That's why I pulled this one. I love this picture. It shows them both, their profiles. They look so much alike. I want to pull this picture back up of Let me see if I can get this one on the stage. People are saying she's a demon. Some are calling her not only a demon, but a demon witch. They say that every time they see Annie, she looks like she's on drugs. She doesn't look like she's on drugs to me. She looks almost exactly like Savannah, with dark hair and a slightly narrower jaw. So much like Savannah, actually. Again, killed her mom, abducted her mom, ass looks as guilty as hell. She's a witch. She's a demon witch. She looks drugged. That's what people have to say about Annie Guthrie if you go on right now, if you go on social media. That's what they have to say. I want to talk about what Annie Guthrie really is. First of all, I want to show this. Take a look at this if you didn't see this. I posted this long ago. Take a look. That was Annie and Savannah and her mom, Nancy, right there in that house, right outside the house where she was taken. Again, that house was bought in 1975 for $85,000. I want to show this video again because I want you to look what caught my eye. Look at the vines. This is the vines that was used, I think, to grab on and hold that ring camera. I think that's what he was doing. I think his gloves were slipping, even though they're tacky. They were way too big for his hands. He couldn't get a hold, and so he used the vines. Look, watch one more time closely. You know, everyone wants to know what those vines are. I wanted to show them there. That's the vine. I'm not sure exactly what that flower is. It's not lantana. It's the wrong color, but that's even the same color. And those vines were right there that he reached around and pulled. So I just thought that was so interesting because of that. That video, I posted it, geez, just probably 6 weeks ago now, five, 6 weeks ago, really touched my heart sort of to see the interplay between Nancy and her two little girls. Obviously, they also have a brother, Cameron, named after the dad. But Cameron's what they call him, but he was named after the dad. He's an Air Force pilot. We'll talk about him later. I want to stick with Annie. I want to talk about who she is. First of all, she's a poet. She's a creative writer. She actually works for the University of Arizona and has been employed there since 2009. In 2016, she got a coveted Artist Research and Development Grant. Everyone, grants are hard to get. You don't just get them. You have to put in for them and you have to show that you have something to work for and to do and to prove. A research and development grant. I think the year I saw, I think there were only 30 or 34 that have been approved, and she got one of them. I'm talking about basically a success of hers. I want to read. No, I'm going to go into this first. I want to talk to you about oracular writing. Oracular writing. For some reason, some people have chosen to take the word oracular and change it into witch. Somehow, oracular writing equals witchcraft to some people. It doesn't. It's not witchcraft, everyone. Oracular writing is, I'm going to say my terminology, what it is. It's sort of mystical writing. It's the type of writing you do where it's ambiguous. But instead of me just talking about it, I want to give you the formal definition. And then I also want to give you examples of oracular writing to show you they are nothing to do with witchcraft. Here we go. Oracular writing refers to a style of prose or poetry that mimics the ambiguous, authoritative, and prophetic tone of an oracle. It often relies on cryptic symbolism and brief, enigmatic statements that require deep interpretation. I'm convinced, and please, you know, I hope I say this right and don't insult. I think for some people, when they don't understand something, they say it has to do with witchcraft, or it has to do with something negative. It has to do with evil. It has to do with darkness. It has to do with doing something, you know, evil and satanic, because they don't understand it. That's why I wanted you to read what oracle writing is. It's poetry that mimics the ambiguous, the authoritative, and the prophetic tone of an oracle. I want to go on here. I want to give you an example, because these examples are really good. This is one of her poems. This is from her book that everybody's making a big deal about. I guess they don't like it. The name of this book. Let me make sure I have it right. The name of the book. I think it's called The Good Dark. Again, What does that mean? That's the whole point. The good dark. It's ambiguous. What does that mean? Does that mean dark can be good? Dark can be good if you're a mushroom. You know, dark can be good if you want to go to sleep at night. Dark can be good if you enjoy wearing black. It's meant to be ambiguous. It's meant to make you think. It's meant to be deep. It's meant to be symbolic. It is not meant to be evil. There's nothing satanic. There's nothing evil. There's nothing negative about this at all. It's just people don't understand it and they've decided to make it bad. Yes, I was right. It's called The Good Dark. That's the name of the book. This is what she says about what the good dark is. It is a privacy. The way the ribs curve around the breath, a black box holding the flight data of a bird that never landed. That is her primary poem in her book, The Good Dark. That's her primary poem explaining what she means. You guys, this is absolutely beautiful in my mind. I'm a poet, by the way. I've only been published once. It was many years ago, but I write poetry all the time to my husband. I write it to my kids. When my mother passed, I wrote and read a poem. When my father passed, I wrote for him. Poetry is at its very core. It can be so beautiful. And I'm telling you, her writings are so deep and so good. Again, The Good Dark, it is a privacy. True. What do we mean by privacy? That's when you keep your thoughts, your life, your bank accounts, your children, whatever you keep private, you keep it in the dark. Is that bad? No, that's the opening sentence. Her opening sentence. What is a good dark? A good dark is privacy. It's dark because it's obscured, as privacy should be. The second one she said, the way the ribs curve around the breath. I mean, this woman is so freaking intelligent. The way the ribs curve around your breath. That is so cool. It's so true. Our breath going throughout. I know I'm getting pretty deep here, but these poems are deep. And it really pisses me off that because she is a bright, deep thinker poet, that people instead want to call her a murderer, a witch, a demon. She's been cleared, people, but forget that. Forget that. Who is she? Who is Annie? I can't even imagine how this woman feels because I can tell she is a deep thinker. Further, she says, a black box holding the flight data of a bird that never landed. Guys, that's pretty dang cool. A black box that held the flight data of a bird that never landed. You know, I don't know. It's kind of cool, the thought. Just, you know, what are birds doing up there? They're flying all around. What are they thinking? Why don't they land? Why do they land? The black box, you know, referring to our black boxes in planes and things. That's pretty cool, everyone. That's her evil, deep, horrible poem. That's titled The Good Dark. People who are shallow and who never look below the surface can look at the words or see the words or hear the words, good dark, and somehow make Annie a witch out of that. That's been a lot of the thing. Oh, look at her book. It's The Good Dark. She's evil. Look deeper for those people. I know it's nobody in here, but look deeper. She's also a jeweler. She particularly has a design shop, a jewelry design shop that works, it's commission based only. And so she loves jewelry. It's funny, if you look closely at this picture, I think you can see maybe one of her works. I'm always trying to look at her jewelry that she might have on to see what I can see. Wondering also if any of Savannah's jewelry might be fashioned by her. But nevertheless, she's a jeweler, and it's a commission business. She has multiple businesses, so she works really hard. She also is a director, and I believe this is her main job. She's the publicity and marketing director for KORE Press. Okay, what is that? It's dedicated to publishing contemporary literature that is written by women and transgender artists. So essentially, it started in 1993. The other thing I found out about her, which I thought was very interesting, is she's had these jobs for a lot of years. Now, a lot of people don't have a job for a lot of years, and that's fine. You know, a lot of people are looking to expand. They go in a different direction, blah, blah, blah. But when I see people that have a job for a lot of years, it tells me they're very good at what they do, because if not, they would be fired. So not only are they good at it, which you can be good at a job and still move on, but they're good at it and they love it. They enjoy it. And that's why they don't move on. So 1993, it's a long time. I started the FBI in 1990. I mean, that's so long ago. I've been retired 10 years now. It's a long time ago. She's been doing the same job because she's good at it. She's valuable and she loves her work. That's what we should be taking away from that. Not that she's a witch. And the fact that she allows transgender to write for her publications and she promotes that and markets that. So what? I've seen people make so much out of that too. So what? All right. Let's see. She was married in 2006 to Tommaso Sioni. They have one child together. And I want to talk a little bit about her personal life. She's worth, according to net worth, and I've really learned a lot about this, and I thought this was interesting. If you go on right now, look at your net worth, just take your net worth, or take, like what I did, take Annie's net worth. Today, she's worth $100,000. And Tommaso was worth somewhere below $1 million. So they're worth somewhere between $100,000 and $1 million, which to me is above average. But obviously, a big part of that is the house they own, right? That house, I've seen it valued anywhere between $650,000 and $1 million. The house they own. Their mom's house is just over $1 million. So they have a house that's worth a lot. It's in a very, you know, it's only 10 minutes, about 4 miles from Nancy's house. In other words, they're doing just fine. She has longevity in her job. She has a great job. She also works for the University of Arizona. I want to make sure it is the University of Arizona. Yes, the University of Arizona, particularly in their poetry center, and particularly in their oracular writing section. This is something that is understood. Oracular writing and poetry is, well, poetry, nobody should have issue with that part. But the oracular writing is something that his characterized and accepted and in fact taught in higher learning institutions like the University of Arizona and many others. This is not some off the wall, certainly not evil, certainly not unusual, but it's in academia. It's in the academic world. Again, of higher institutions all over, and that's what she teaches. So she has three levels of income from the University of Arizona as a teacher, teaching this, oracular writing and poetry. And when you read her poems, you understand why they are so deep and so good, in my opinion. I guess maybe they just, I like them. I love ambiguous writing like that, meaning I like to read something and have it mean more than one thing. That's what I take from oracular. It means you can take more than one thing from what somebody is saying, from their message. And I love to read a poem and have it be deep like that. That's just me. So I respect her writing, and apparently so does the University of Arizona. And apparently, so does her employment since 1993 as the director of marketing and publicity for Core Press. Just the fact that they've been in business that long tells you a lot. And then also, she sells jewelry. She enjoys jewelry. So this is a woman who works hard. No signs of money problems. You know, that's the interesting thing. I don't know why nobody looked this up early on. Her husband, Tommaso, is a middle school physics teacher. We'll get into more of that on the next show. They do just fine. They're not in money problems. They have one child. They have a beautiful life from all accounts. Now, I want to switch now to her relationship with Nancy Guthrie. Actually, let me start with her relationship with her sister, Savannah Guthrie, because a lot of people that, again, are saying she's a killer, she abducted her mom or had her abducted, not that she's porch guy, but she pulled the strings, that her ass is guilty as hell, that she's a witch and that she's a demon and she's a druggie. Okay, this is what people are saying. What does Savannah think of her sister? I'm going to give you a couple examples. First one we're going to watch. Let me start it from the beginning.
We still believe in a miracle. We still believe that she can come home. Hope against hope. As my sister says, we are blowing on the embers of hope.
Did you hear that? Let me play it one more time.
We still believe in a miracle. We still believe that she can come home. Hope against hope. As my sister says, we are blowing on the embers of hope.
As my sister says, we are blowing on the embers of hope. She's quoting her sister. They have a love and a respect for each other, but I'm going to talk more about that. I'm going to talk more about that right here. I'm going to tell you what Annie herself says about her sister, beyond the fact that she's quoting her. In the middle of this case, she's quoting her. Let me find. Okay. Savannah has talked a lot about her sister. In her 2024 book, so Savannah wrote this book, Mostly What God Does, Reflections and Seeking and Finding His Love Everywhere. This is what she says, 2024, 2 years ago. My sister is by far the most wise, intelligent, thoughtful, creative, generous, and profoundly original person I know. Does that sound like someone who doesn't get along with their sister? Does this look like somebody that doesn't laugh and love with her sister? Remember, the reason I'm talking about this right now is because they're calling her a killer, an abductor, a drugged out witch who's a demon. That's what they're saying still. I just looked today, just today, not from earlier, from right now, today. They're still saying all this. And they're saying the reason behind the hate, behind the abduction and the murder of her mother. Yes, I believe Nancy Guthrie is likely dead. I'm holding out, as she would say, an ember of hope, but a very small ember. Most likely she has passed. In fact, Savannah said that God spoke to her and said she was dead. She believes she's dead. I think she's most likely dead. So they're calling her a murderer. They're calling her an abductor. I mean, in what I read today, they're calling her a murderer, a killer. Actually, it was killer, not murderer. And they're saying the reason, her motive, is her jealousy of her sister, Savannah. That's what they're saying. They're jealous. She's jealous. Baloney. They have a beautiful life. There were somewhere between, somewhere under, just under a million, if you look it up. And I tell you, every day switches. It's hilarious. You can take any one person and track them for the next year. Depending on when you ask, they can be worth up to 10 million or as low as 1 to 5 million, the same person. So it's insane. I just did that with somebody else about a month ago. They were worth 10 million and now they're worth 1.5 million, but nothing, or 1 to 5 million, but nothing's changed. Anyway, it's just funny to look at all that, but that's totally off my subject matter. The subject matter here is the motive, because everybody asks, what's the motive? What's the motive? Well, we know it's not money. They were doing fine. Secondarily, Nancy Guthrie has no money to give. She was renting out part of her house as an older woman to gain rental income, everyone. She was on a fixed income. She lost her husband decades ago when he had a heart attack in Mexico. Sonora, Mexico. I know. It's another crazy coincidence here. In the FBI, we say there's no coincidences, but honestly, there are some coincidences. I don't know. To me, they're using Sonora, Mexico in these notes because they know that he died in Sonora, Mexico, the dad. Whoever is doing this knows this family well. They've studied them. They know them. They hate them. Clearly. And that's why they mention Sonora in the notes, because that's where Daddy Guthrie died of a heart attack. Anyway, the people who want to make all these horrible accusations against her being evil, demon, witch. Yeah, I keep repeating it because it makes me angry. And I'm trying to show the juxtaposition of, just like I did in the other case, the juxtaposition of people just making crap up, the juxtaposition to that, to the reality. Let me read what else she says. So again, I'm going to repeat this. My sister is by far the most wise, intelligent, thoughtful, creative, generous, and profoundly original person I know. This is what she also said. Oh, I'm sorry. This is what Annie said now. I told you what Savannah said. What is Annie say about Savannah, since everybody says she plotted this because she's so jealous? There's nothing to be jealous of. She's actually just as beautiful. If you get the right light, they look. I mean, obviously they're related. Look at their profiles. Annie said, "My sister and I are like the sun and the moon. Her sorrows are my sorrows, and her successes are my successes." That's pretty cool. That's what you want. I always say, with friends and with my family, I don't know if you've ever heard this before. This is just something I always say. I say, the more successful my relatives are, the more successful the friends that I'm around are, to me, it's a reflection on me. If my sister is a neonatologist, that's what she did. She has a brain tumor now. She's had it removed 8 times. It's benign. It's in the back in her medulla oblongata. But, you know, right now she's blind in one eye, struggles with speaking, can't walk well. She's younger than me. But she was a neonatologist, you know, work in the NICU with little babies, trying to make them healthy. Amazing what she accomplished. I celebrate every success she's had. My other sister, a biologist, celebrate every success. All my sisters and brothers. Unless we're playing tennis against each other. And then I do not celebrate their successes. No, I'm kidding. I'll still say good shot. My point is, this is how Annie Raleigh speaks of Savannah and how Savannah speaks of Annie. And I don't see anything fake about it. Nothing fake about it. See, I think I have a couple of more quotes here. This is something Savannah said about what Annie said. "Sometimes the way we have found each other in the hard times is God, the sixth member of our family. As my sister so memorably put it," in other words, as Annie so memorably put it, "I know when she is praying for me, and I believe she knows when I'm praying for her too." You see, they have a true kind of trinity, if you will, between God, the Holy Spirit, and each other. That's how they feel about each other. This is no demon. This is no Satan. It's no witch person practicing witchcraft. It is the ignorance of people who don't understand oracular poetry. They don't get that word. And instead of looking it up and understanding it, they've chosen to make her evil. They love each other. Their family loves each other. Nancy loved them. They love Nancy. They've been cleared. I did a whole live on what it means to be cleared. But I'm going to go over it really quick. This is how you clear somebody. I'm going to do it quick. Number one thing I do, first thing, on a missing case, I'm going to polygraph those involved. And I'm going to see their reaction. I'm going to tell them, "I'm setting you up for a polygraph. It's in 2 hours. Be ready. Are you ready?" First of all, I should say, the first thing is a pre-interview. You have to do a pre-interview before any polygraph. You may not know this, but you have to. The polygraphers want to see what they said. They want to be able to use that sometimes to help fashion the couple of questions they're going to ask. Remember, they are also going to pre-interview. So you're going to have an investigator pre-interview. They're going to pre-interview, and then they're going to poly. That's how it all works. So I'm going to see what the reaction to all of that is. Is it cooperative? Is it pound sand? Is it, "I need an attorney"? Is it, "I'm taking the Fifth Amendment"? There are many attorneys that will tell you, and they might be on here right now, and they might say, "Oh my gosh, don't take a polygraph. Oh my gosh, don't interview with the FBI. Oh, for heaven's sakes, don't do anything like that." Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're innocent, you should do it. That's my advice. If you're innocent and you know you can prove it. You know you have the data in your car to show you went to a house and you came back and you have nothing to hide and you don't have some relationship with somebody that becomes porch guy to kill your in-law. If you know you have nothing to do with it and this is like any other Sunday night or Saturday night except for your mom / mother-in-law was abducted the next day, talk. That's my opinion. Talk to an attorney, I guess, if you're ever in that situation, but that's my opinion. But that's what I'm looking for as an agent. And I can tell you, people who lawyer up, people who get hinky, people who get weird and sketchy, we all denote that. It's everybody's right to get weird and sketchy, but we denote it up here. We denote, well, maybe they just, in the abundance of caution, maybe they just, you know, are married to a defense attorney. I don't know what the situation is, but you know, it gives us a second eye. Anyway, in their situation, my point is they cooperated. They cooperated right away. They wanted to cooperate. They wanted, and this is the reason why people cooperate. They want to you to know as law enforcement, we know you're going to look at us first. We're the last person to see her. We're the caretakers. We have opportunity. There's no motive. There's no means. In other words, there's nothing to show that they would have done it, but they certainly had opportunity if they would have wanted to. So they know they're not stupid. These are very intelligent people. Savannah's an attorney. Savannah cooperated fully. Cameron cooperated fully. They never thought about not cooperating fully. You look at that. And they did from the beginning. And they took their polygraphs. And they consent searched their houses. And their cars. And their car didn't come back till later. It cracks me up when everybody's like, oh, but see, the car wasn't given back till later. And it was torn up inside. It was torn up. And then on the opposite side of that, they say, see, it wasn't given back for a long time. They had to tear it up. If they were innocent, they wouldn't have had to tear it up. But yet then they say, how could they be cleared? You got to do a thorough investigation. They did. They tore up the car. They got into the brains and meat of the car that knows exactly the navigation, the GPS portion of it. I'm telling you, these cars are amazing. Braking, when you how far you depress the brake, the accelerators, it has so much information in these modules. It's unbelievable. They tore the car up, everyone. Everybody should be happy about that. Instead, everybody is saying that, see, that means they're guilty. Well, no, that means that they wanted to make sure everything they told them was accurate from a forensic standpoint, from forensically looking at the data in that car. I guarantee this did the same thing with their phones. A digital, full-on digital analysis of their phones, where those phones were, who they've communicated with, any anger issues, anything going on. They've also got Nancy's, right? She left her cell phone. They've got all that information. They were cleared. And these are just some of the avenues. They were cleared. I know. It was the Pima County Sheriff Nanos that said they were cleared. He's working hand in hand with the Bureau, everyone. For those of you who have ever been on a task force working with the FBI on a high profile kidnapping case, the Bureau is not going to let a statement like that go out, clearing the family without their blessing. I did this job 28 years. The majority of those years spent on task forces, violent crime, gang, organized crime task forces. That it isn't how it works to have some sheriff without the FBI's approval of that, period. And they did it just like they did in the Idaho case, and they've done in other cases, because of the incessant ridicule, and threats that these family members suffer. And they want to put an end to it. And they did in this case really early, pretty early, within a couple of weeks. They did the same thing in the Idaho case. It's to protect literally Annie and Tommaso, Nancy's own daughters and son and son-in-law and kids from being completely targeted. That's why. Targeted. So they're cleared, everyone. If you don't want to believe me, you don't have to believe me, but they're cleared. I'm telling you. If any of you have served on a task force, you will say the same thing. Okay. Let's see. Want to make sure I didn't miss anything. I didn't. I just wanted everybody to know who Annie is. That's what this show is about today. Not lies, not conjecture from people who have never met her, not from trolls who take some sort of pride or get some sort of feel-good feeling about hurting others. They're really no better than the ransom writers, the trolls that are on this, trolling accounts. And every time Annie comes up, they come on and call her a witch or a demon or a killer. They troll my account all the time. They just can't help themselves. Not just mine, they troll everybody's. So I wanted you guys to know who she was from the mouth of Savannah, from Nancy, I hope that the Bureau solves this case. I thought it was very interesting. I put a little something out on this that Savannah actually in studio in NBC, they actually now have a code word that in case there's something that breaks in the case, you know, for them to alert Savannah so she knows. Somebody wrote that that's usual, and I'm like, well, most people don't usually have their mothers that have been kidnapped, but nevertheless, I suppose if somebody has somebody who's in the hospital or something like that, and they want to covertly let them know on stage or something, I mean, in my small, short time in the media, which I, you know, consider myself very much a rookie and brand new at this, I've never heard of that on News Nation, but I don't know, maybe it happens. I don't know anything about that. But they have that with something breaking. And I got to tell you, everyone, it gave me a sense of some hope. I thought, why would you need that unless something is brewing, unless something is going to be changing? Why would you do that? So it kind of gave me this kind of sense of hope in a way that maybe they're getting down the road enough that they needed to have a word out there because something's going to happen. I don't know. It just gave me a little hope. It gave me pause. Gave me a little pause to think maybe they know something. I don't think it's going to be necessarily good news. The Bureau isn't going to say anything until they're done. Nanos is under a rock right now writing because he has to answer these questions. Remember, his term is up in 2028. I know people want him to resign. I know people want him to capitulate. They want him to, you know, say I'm out. It's not going to happen, everyone. He's in a very powerful position. He's been in law enforcement his whole life, essentially. To become sheriff is so completely hard. NJC, thank you for gifting another membership. That is so kind of you. He's not going anywhere. And wow, thank you so much, Karen, for basil seeds. Oh my gosh, that is so great. And as soon as my basil is going, I'm actually gonna do a live outside of just my garden. It's dedicated to my dad, so I have this little thing. When he passed away a few years ago, he's a farmer, amazing farmer. But that is amazing, Karen. Thank you. Thank you. That is exactly what I'll use it for. But nevertheless, that was just so thoughtful. Thank you. When it comes to what they're going through, I just hope online that a lot of you have an online presence that you can be, stand up to some of these trolls, stand up to some of these people. And, you know, you don't have to argue with them. What I try to do is when they say something off base, I'll just send them a live I did that reflects on what they had to say, or maybe the definition of oracular, or maybe, you know, something that shows like the video or the words that are taken from their own mouths about what they think about each other, things along that line. Pug hair. Pug hair is glitter. Thank you for becoming a member. That means a lot. Thank you. That hopefully you'll say something. You know, I really try not to argue at all online and on social media. But I think you can counter different things with intelligence. And if they're really bad, you look over and they have, you know, they're not doing anything but cluttering up your garden. If they're just a weed in your garden, which I consider the true crime community, every morning when I get up and I look and I want to do a tweet about something that's going on in true crime, I consider you all, everybody on here on YouTube, everybody on the platform for Twitter X, you guys are my garden. You guys are kind of like my mental stimulating true crime advocacy garden. And if I get a weed in my garden, typically, depending on how bad it is it a dollar weed that's going to take over my lawn? Or is it, you know, one lone dandelion? I might just mute them. But I tell you, when they're ugly in your garden, get rid of them, block them. They're worth nothing. You shouldn't have to look at it. They're meaningless. So I hope, and you know, I remember when Annie and Tommaso got rid of all their social media. And I remember thinking to myself, man, that looks bad. And I even think I did a tweet on it, at least that they did. I more just presented facts. I probably would too. Because right now when I go to my garden, it's 96% flowers, vegetables, herbs. If I went to my garden and 95% of it was weeds, I probably would want to get rid of it too. And I have a feeling that that's why they did it. They could not look at it again. And they never will be able to. You know, it's been taken away from them because they've been accused. They're accused every day. So anyway, I just had to do a live on Annie. And I hope you all know Annie now. It makes me kind of want to buy her book, especially since no one seems to know that's accusing her anyway, what she means by the good dark. I'm going to end it, I think, with two things. First of all, I want to say thank you to everybody again. All my members, we're going to have a really cool thing. So maybe my prediction of 6 months, I don't know whether we're going to hit that mark because we're already into 2 months. We got 2 months, a little over 2 months into it. But I said by the 6 month mark, within that time frame, the case would be cracked. We'll see if it works out. I remember I did this with Brian Koberger, and I said by December 31st, the end of the year. And I couldn't believe it when that's exactly when it happened. I just said by December 31st. So I'm hoping I'm right on this one, not for me, but for this family, that it can all end. It'll never all end, but at least they'll have answers. And I still stick by my statement, whether people want to support it or not. I say tickle the wire. I know how much we have on in case funds on our cases, and it's a lot. And 34,000 or 37, depending on when you look at it, is a drop in the bucket to get Cash Patel to sign off. Probably wouldn't even have to go up to Cash Patel. I think just the SAC Phoenix could sign off on it. And tickle that wire, put the money in, see if somebody grabs the bait. If you don't do the last four, you know, in other words, if you don't want to get an extortionist off the street and bet the come that maybe there's some nexus, fine. I get it. We all know this wasn't a real ransom for money. I mean, we all agree on that. But tickle the wire. Put in 30, 40,000. See if some rat takes that bait. You can track Bitcoin. There is a chain. There is a public chain. You can track it, everyone. I understand at the end, it could be Batman that owns it. Literally, Batman, fake address, this and that and the other thing. But there are more securities in place these days. And they have to get the money liquid. They have to get it usable. And if they go and make transfers, they put a fingerprint on it. Cases have been solved, Bitcoin cases. It's worth it. The amount of money you're going to see, they spent millions and millions and millions. I can't remember the dollar amount, multi-millions on the Gabby Petito case. Millions looking for Brian Laundrie for 5 weeks or so in that swamp. Millions. Spend 37,000. They had 100 agents on this. They're contracting people to help with the emails. Likely. And that's what we do. Contracting people to help with the Bitcoin. But you got to let somebody want to. You got to dangle the carrot a little bit here. Do it. See what happens. It can't be any worse than what's happening now. We don't know behind the scenes. Again, to think that what we see in public is the whole case would be nonsense. There's been so much negativity. But when you look at the sources, I want you to look closely. What people say, it's like two people removed from anybody that knows anything. It's never the people that are on the case. It's somebody that worked in the department or somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that, you know, is on that case. So I'm holding out that the Bureau has a lot more than we think. And that we'll know something soon. Or not soon, but in the next several months. Everybody, thank you so much. I'm going to end on, and let me look and make sure. Let's see. I am going to play this again. I think it's interesting to see the Ivy. I think it's interesting to see, and I know you could do anything when you were younger or whatever, and it may not give you a picture, but for me, I see a picture of a lot of love between these girls. Thanks, everyone. Until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all the missing.